And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Been a lot of fun here this morning. All kinds of great info. Again, if you want to join us, be a part of here on this second hour of Let's Talk Hookup. Corey, the phone lines have been packed. The texts have been coming through. How do we do it?
They really have. I mean, we're giving away an AFCO fillet knife, one of the ones we were talking about earlier. Super ergonomic, super cool, actually. And two spools of the cyclofluorocarbon. If you want to take part in this, it's the number 213-432-1090.
Yeah, certainly great times, and texts have been rolling through. Lots of fun there, and lots of fun coming up here in the second hour. And, man, phones have just been absolutely packed for Greg. Why don't we jump into them?
Let's do it. Let's talk to Dan. Dan coming from El Cajon. Good morning, Dan. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
I was wondering, okay, so I think you've already answered it, but when you're filleting a fish, do you continually sharpen the knife as you're playing it, or does that knife, the AFCO, does that hold a edge for a long time?
You know, Dan, I'll be honest with you. I did not sharpen my AFCO knives at all until I was probably, four or five swordfish and several bluefin tuna into it.
And that's no joke.
Yeah.
And seriously.
And then I finally sharpened them, but I am also careful. I don't cut down onto a wooden cutting board with them. I don't cut through bone. I'm careful only to use them to cut skin and flesh and try to avoid, you know, trying to break bones or any of that kind of thing. Knives aren't made for that anyway. But honestly, you should be able to go a number of fish if you're careful with the knife. Also, if you clean it. Because if the knife sits in the case wet with salt water, as I said earlier, it will degrade the edge and you'll lose some of your sharpness. So keep the knife clean. And don't try to cut bone or saw through a rope or anything like that with it. If you just use it for cutting fish, you should get, somewhere between 8 and 12 fish out of it before you have to hit it with a stone.
Do you have any thoughts one way or another on sharpening steels? I mean, I know you talked about that fairly fine stone that you really like. Are you a fan or lesser of the honing steels?
I like a steel. A steel's good, again, if you know exactly how to use it. But, you know, all a steel does is knock the edge from one side to the other. So a lot of times what happens if you were to look at the blade under a microscope, it gets laid over in one direction or another. And what the steel does, it doesn't take any material off. It just dresses the edge back to center. So you have to use the steel correctly to knock the edge back into center. If you know how to do that, then it can work really well. But if you want to actually take material off and put a fine cutting edge like you'd cut sushi or cut a fine piece of loin with, then you want to use a stone.
Got it.
A whetstone.
Great.
Definitely.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, good call. Appreciate that very much. Hey, let's jump back into the phones. We got a friend of the show, Mike Maloney, calling this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Picking us up, Mike?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Loud
good morning,
and clear,
Michael.
Buddy. How are you?
I'm fine. Pete texted me and said Greg was going to be on, and I thought Pete said you can learn something, Maloney, and I listened to you guys for about 10 minutes, and I'm going, I am so glad I'm a fly fisherman because you guys, it just seems like such a complicated world to me, and maybe Greg would feel the same way about fly fishing, but it's always great to talk with you guys.
Thank you, Michael, and I certainly appreciate you, my friend, for all the information you've given me on fly fishing and fly casting. And for those of you that don't know, Michael is probably one of the greatest fly casters and fly casting instructors in the universe. But he'll never
very
say
kind.
That, though.
And I know that Pete shares those same sentiments. Pete has said that on the show many times, Mike.
Well, you guys are awfully kind, as always. And one of these days, I hopefully, when this thing lightens up a little bit, we'll all get together and you guys can put a conventional reel in my hand, and I'll give you guys a fly rod. I think Mr. Stotesbury, unfortunately, is on his way to doing great things with a fly rod also. I have to tell you, you guys already know this, knowing Greg so long, is that he asks the best questions. We'll talk on the phone, and all of a sudden I'm looking at my watch, and it's like a half hour, 40 minutes, and he's just got one fabulous question after another. But anyway, I just wanted to say hi. Hope you guys are all safe. I hope you guys have a great Valentine's Day with your spouses. And, Greg, we'll see you soon, I hope. And, Rick, thanks to you again. And, Corey, one of these days we'll have a chance to meet.
I look forward to it, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, Michael.
Great call, Mike. That's rad.
Good stuff to you and Murph.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it very much.
Oh, that was a good one for sure. Hey, we got Chuck. Chuck calling from Long Beach. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. And good morning, Chuck.
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I will say, probably the best piece of information I've had on the show in the last 20 years is that quarter under the fillet knife.
I thought the same thing. That's huge. Such a good visual.
I thought that was common knowledge.
That's the most amazing
thing. I thought that was great.
But, yeah, because you're a local guy and you get to fish a lot. If you're just going to go dunk a line in the water for the day without a boat or anything from shore, where are you going up here in the OC and Long Beach area?
You know, I like fishing the bays and the harbors. You know, use a little swim bait of some kind, with a little MC swim bait, a little 3-incher on a little quarter ounce lead head with some light braided line, and walk the shoreline or walk the docks in one of the local harbors. Like, I live just real close to Huntington Harbor, and I put my skiff in there and fish a lot, and I love fishing for bay bass and sand bass and halibut and all the hundreds of fish that live in the bays. But if I was going to do one thing close to home, it'd either be surf fish or go to the bay. And I think the bay would get my nod.
That's the best stress reliever from a day, too. You can keep a little rod in the back of the truck and make a few casts on your way home. Like, I mean, certainly not that I work in the high stress environment, but regardless, when you're done with a day of work, if you can just, you know, make a short drive and make a few casts and catch a spotty and throw it back, like, your drive home is 100 times easier. It's just everything melts away after making a few casts.
Yeah, it's kind of our Viv and I's go-to. We take our little skiff down to Huntington Harbor because the ramp's only 10 minutes from the house, and we'll go down there and just hang out in the bay and
That's
fish.
Awesome.
But I see guys fishing off the shore down there, and I think sometimes they do better than the boat guys because they can pick a dock apart or they can pick a rocky spot on a point and stand there and throw a little MC swim bait on a quarter ounce head and catch bay bass, sand bass, halibut. And so that's I hope that answers your question, but that would be my go-to.
What about you, Corey? Any favorite for a local bay bass type thing, whether it be a particular shape or style of rigging or anything to add to that?
You know, for that area would be maybe drop shotting like a 4-inch slug too, you know, and like Greg's talking about picking apart a small area, you can really do that with, I mean, a lead-headed swim bait is great and draws a reactionary bite, and you can make 2-3 casts, and if you don't react to that, then sometimes a drop shot like in their face and jiggled is too tantalizing sometimes.
That's a good call, especially with all the grass. Huntington Harbor's got a ton of grass, so the drop shot rig works really good up there because you get above the grass and, you know, you don't foul the jig head with it.
I feel like just in general in talking to you, you talk about that slug a lot more than I think a lot of us probably give it credit for.
It's honestly one of the most, I would say, underutilized. Maybe the better way would be most not understood, you know? Like, it's good on a lead head, it's good drop shotted. Like, we, from Alaskan halibut to local ling cod to bass fishing. Like, I mean, you can fish that thing weightless for calicos to on a lead head for sand bass.
I don't know if it's just creature of habit, but if I look at a tray of baits, my hand grabs one with a paddle tail on it every time.
Hey.
And I know that you
same.
I mean, you make and have the ability to fish both, and I know that you like that slug. And when people call the show, you talk about that way more. I feel like you talk about fishing the slug more than the paddle tail, and I think that there's something very telling in that.
There was enough excitement, I gave it the dude factor.
Yeah,
you didn't catch
right?
that.
You like it.
And I do, for sure, yeah. I mean, it's something that's totally underutilized.
And there is no denying how good that slug looks in the water, especially with a fairly minimal amount of lead head on it. When you see that thing doing what it does in the water, it looks like something that's supposed to be there.
Whether it's a 4-inch, a 5-inch, 6-inch, 7, 8-inch, I mean, they're all useful to some point. Hey, there's a reason why right now, if you went into Fisherman's or Dana Landing or Seaforth, local here, they're out of 4-inch slugs. Seriously, I mean, that's what I'm working on this week.
That's
seriously.
Funny. Yeah.
Interesting. That's cool.
Right.
Yeah, see, I don't use that enough. I'm a grub and a swim bait guy.
Same.
I'll take care of you, Greg.
All right, thanks.
That's good, though. Hey, appreciate it very much. Let's jump back into the phones and see what we got. Packed up solid right now.
Yeah, they are for sure. Let's talk to Tom. Tom from Temecula. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, guys. Happy Valentine's Day to all of our wives who allow us to go fishing more than we should sometimes.
That's good.
Greg, I used your AFCO fluorocarbon last year, and to be honest with you, I don't consider myself to be a great fisherman, but I thought I was getting more bites on the boat than some of the other guys. And I'm not sure if that's more of the transparency of that line in the water or what. But my question really goes back to antique tackle. I've collected a couple of antique reels from my grandfather, and I have an old Pfluger Williams reel that's about the size of a 6-0. I also have some of the old knuckle busters with the leather drag pieces there that basically the reel doesn't have a drag other than that piece of leather. Have you fished any of those types of reels on our local fish without a mechanical drag? And what's your take on some of that older tackle like that?
So to answer your question, yes, I have my lighter tuna club tackle is based on the Pfluger Atlapak, which was the best star drag reel of its day. The actual full knuckle buster reels, I don't use those just because in our club, as long as it's pre-1940, it fits our club requirements. So from right up to 1940, there was actually some pretty good star drag stuff. There were some pen reels around. Like that pen Nino I'm using is not a whole lot different than the brand new Nino. Mm-hmm. It takes the good drags and all those kinds of things. So no need to use a knuckle buster, but I know there are guys in the club that have tried to use them, and it's possible to use the leather thumb stall and all that. But the linen line and the Dacron that we're required to use, that leather thumb stall is pretty tough on that stuff.
Because you're actually pushing that up against the line.
It's straight up friction on the line itself. And until the line is wet, which the linen line will actually gain strength when it gets wet. Until it's wet, I don't want to push that piece of leather up against my very rare linen line.
Yeah, very rare. Yeah.
But those old reels, you'd be surprised. You can take and rebuild those reels and put a modern drag washer in them, which is allowable in our club. And especially that Pfluger Atlapak, that's a great reel. I mean, it's got a good, nice big star drag. It's got a decent ratio, and you're able to catch fish on it if you're really super lucky.
I think that's so cool, man. I dig it. Tom, great questions, man. Appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot for that. Let's jump back into them and talk to our buddy Wayne. Wayne Cotto from CCA is calling this morning. Hi, Wayne.
Hello?
Got us there, Wayne?
Oh, hi there, Ricky. Hey, Corey. Hey, Greg. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Wayne. Good morning.
Man, I don't know whether Greg is more the professor or the historian. I mean, all this knowledge he has in his head, wow.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
Isn't it,
and some of it's true.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. The 365 license bill will be dropping this week. CCA Cal is the sponsor on it. A couple things I don't know if people know, but last year the department was able to do the auto-renewal in their system, so that one's already online. But the other piece of this legislation is that we're working it in so that you can have your license on your mobile app. So you don't have to carry the physical license anymore. That's part of the legislation we're trying to carry.
That's
a huge thing for us. Guys, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of bills being dropped in Sacramento and on the federal side right now. So CCA is so important to it. We're watching our right to fish out here in California. So, guys, we can use your help. We're always looking for help on membership. Try to join CCA. We're not having all of the shows this year. Obviously, a lot of them have been canceled. So if you guys go online and join CCA.org or CCAcalifornia.org, we can really use the help. And then we have this new option. If you guys want to help us out, we have this monthly contribute to conservation method, the auto pay online. So if you guys want to help, as little as $10 a month, be great. CCAcalifornia.org.
Wayne, that's awesome, man. Great news. And, you're the organization that's fighting for us to all to keep to go and do it. So a great call. And like you say, we really need the fundraising now more than ever. The biggest fundraising efforts, being the Fred Hall shows and things like that are likely to not be at hand this year. It's going to be a tougher go. So if everybody can give a little bit, we're going to be in great shape.
I appreciate it, guys. Great show. Right.
Thanks, Wayne. Wayne, appreciate the phone call very much.
All right. Hey, we've also got Dave Hansen on the line, your saltwaterguide.com guy, sponsored by Dana Landing in Mission Bay.
Good morning.
One-stop shop for everything you need, from fishing, complete saltwater shop, full deli, Mexican licenses, California licenses, trips and six-pack charters. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle, full line of freshwater and live bait for your great day on the lake. Dana Landing right across from SeaWorld, next to Dana Landing launch ramp and on Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle right at the end of the 67 on Lakeside. Check DanaLanding.com. Good morning, Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Corey, Rick, Greg. Good to hear you guys this morning. Great show. Greg's always full of great information.
Thanks, Dave.
But, hey, guys, wind. Got a bunch of wind again. Everything was set. The table was set. Things were starting to happen. Clemente was starting to happen. There were some yellows to catch in the cove. There were some more yellows on the front side of the island. Catalina, there was squid front and backside. There was a little bit of sea bass starting to bite, some yellows, and then that coastal thing. I know Mark Wish touched on it a little bit yesterday, but that squid down there by the checkpoint just below San Onofre, that's a telltale sign of that bigger sea bass showing up. I mean, if you look at any of the history of the sea bass on the coast, when that squid shows up down there at the checkpoint, it usually means good for us, because that's going to be some good sea bass fishing down there and halibut fishing. But then, lo and behold, come Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, the wind, a lot of wind. There's still a lot of wind on the outside today, and it's looking like the wind's going to keep blowing through Tuesday. And I'm looking at a buoy weather, windy. It looks like it's going to back off, and we should have a good weekend next weekend if everything's set up the way it looks on the weather app. So hopefully we can get back out there and look at all these different areas where there's squid and yellowtail and sea bass. And then you know what happens in a week and a half from now, rockfish opens, and I guarantee, just like Doug said a couple weeks ago, somebody is going to stumble into that bluefin as soon as we get a bunch of boats out there covering all that water. No one's really looked outside of Clemente towards the Cortez or the Tanner or anything in the last month and a half. So I think we're in store for a great, great, great spring. We just have to wait for this wind to quit blowing. So the best thing to do right now, gang, is to try to get all your gear together, get everything ready, because it's going to start sooner than you think. I mean, we were talking about getting your gear ready in December. Here we are in the middle of February already. So if you're not ready, gang, I don't know what. You better hurry up and get ready, like Ricky and Corey were saying. A lot of the cool stuff is sold out already, and they're waiting. Everyone's waiting for Corey to make us some more cool stuff so we can have it. So get ready, gang, and make sure you get your tackle boxes ready, because there's going to be a big need for tackle this year, because there's a lot more people fishing than there has been in a long time.
No, I definitely love the cycle we're entering, like you're talking about the squid, Dave.
Yep. Good call, Dave. Well, appreciate the great info. You know, the one thing, Fish Dope is not only fishing information, certainly the biggest and best part about it, but also weather information, water temperature information, all that stuff. And, you know, that's a just as important tool of knowing when they're biting, especially when it comes to this early season fishing. And if you want to save $20 off of a new membership to fishdope.com, use the code HOOKUPNOW. HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $20. And if somebody wants to hook up with you, Dave, how do we find you at Your Saltwater Guide?
Guys, check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. I got lots of videos on how to fish in Southern California. Check out the website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
Okay, great job, buddy. Appreciate that very much, and we will look forward to you talking next week. That's going to wrap up our Dave Hansen report. I want to remind you, Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hooks have been a top choice for anglers, from that Nautilus Light, the regular Nautilus, and that new Nautilus HD. And we heard from Brandon Hayward last week, with that squid around, their favorite choice on bite sport fishing is that Gamakatsu 4 Extra Strong Octopus hook. It's the choice of top white sea bass anglers, and a great choice for you. Stock up on Gamakatsu Nautilus hooks, including that octopus hook, at your favorite tackle store. Phones are packed up solid. Why don't we jump into them, Corey?
Let's do it, Rick. Let's talk to Bruce. Bruce calling from Lemon Grove. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to the show this morning.
Hey, great show as usual, guys. One thing I don't think you touched on is putting a fillet knife in the dishwasher. From what I understand,
that's a definite
the temper
no-no.
Goes away, and it's one of the worst things, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a definite no-no. Thanks for that,
Bruce. Girlfriend tried to help me out there.
That's a good tip. Yeah, and, yeah, great. Appreciate that.
One question for you. What's yes, the longest you've been on a fish?
The longest I've been on a fish, I spent 5 hours on a marlin on 12-pound tackle one time. I've had several go 3 or 4 hours. I think about 5 hours is the longest ever. We had a fish on our boat a couple years ago. We had one of our good friends, Dave Pfeiffer, on a 50-pound Dacron bluefin tuna went 7 hours.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Which is an eternity. And then just this last season, Bill Shedd went 5.5 hours on an over 400-pound swordfish. So we've had some long battles, and luckily mine was on light tackle, so it wasn't that big a deal. But, yeah, 5 hours for me is about the max.
What was the result in those long battles? Did they end successfully? Did they not? Like, how'd we end up?
So, unfortunately, no for me. Both the five-hour and the four-hour, the two last 12-pound marlin battles that I've had were unsuccessful. Fish was just too big, and the circle hook was on the bill, so it wasn't hurting the fish at all, and I couldn't get close. So both of those were not successful, but Bill Shedd's 5.5-hour big swordfish up at Santa Cruz at 10:30 at night, we eventually got that fish.
Is crazy.
What a celebration for the crew that must have been. Like, everybody just, that's a serious angling accomplishment by all, you know. And
yeah,
obviously huge kudos to the angler, you know, to Bill for hanging in that long. But, I mean, you're engaged in battle that long. That's everybody's working for that.
It was a lot of adrenaline involved in that deal, and especially getting the fish on the deck. And I just remember being in Smuggler's Cove at 2 o'clock in the morning putting the final fillets in the bag.
Oh, that's cool.
From a 400 and a 200-pound swordfish.
There's no better trophy, but there is no better eating I've ever had than a sport-caught swordfish.
And, you know, if it's treated right, that stuff freezes so good. We vacuum-sealed it all, bled it all, the whole deal.
It is incredible.
I'm still eating on it.
Yeah.
It's Point Loma Seafood's quality.
Yeah, truly.
It keeps right. Well, that's a great one. Hey, let's jump into the text. This is for Greg. Back in the day, you had a 25 skip. Jack, I believe, named Kawakawa. I remember tying our 26 skipjack next to you at the Dana Point guest slips. We both had a nice catch of albacore. Do you have an opinion on if or when conditions might swing the albacore back our way? And that was from Steve in Lake Forest.
I got to be honest with you, Steve, and great memory, by the way. I think I remember that, having you next to me. But the skipjack was a great boat, caught a ton of fish out of it. You know, a lot of those trips kind of blend together now, but no, I have no clue. That's a question I can't answer. And honestly, I'll take this big bluefin 9 times over 100 times of the albacore. I mean, I know the albacore sells a lot of tackle, gets a lot of people fired up, but a 100-pound bluefin or a 200-pound bluefin or now a 300 or 400-pound bluefin, I don't care if I ever catch another albacore.
That gets you going.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, Corey, let's jump back into the phone.
Let's do it, man. Gets me all fired up. Let's talk to Sal. Sal Cohn from Laverne. Good morning, Sal. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, fellas. I have more, it's more of a recommendation. I used to talk to Let's Talk Hookup quite a bit at the Mighty 1090 down in San Diego. We moved out of state, and we've now moved back. I'm taking the place of one of the senior partners at our firm. He's retiring, and they put it on me, because he's an avid fisherman, to pick up some either rods or reels for Mr. Wentworth. And it's great. They gave me about a $3,500 budget. What would you recommend? I'd like to get him a light ocean setup and one for maybe a long range or a... So whatever recommendations you guys can give me, I'll take to the bank and go out and spend these guys' money.
That's cool, Sal. I would take a stab at exactly what Greg was talking about earlier in that Shimano Talica reel. If you're wanting to have a pretty good sized budget, which you do, and your plan is to only get a couple of reels, and that is certainly going to afford you some of the highest of quality. And I think when it comes to a high end outfit, I don't think you can beat a CalStar rod and a Shimano reel. And I think that's exactly the route that I would go. And I think the best thing to do is just to find a shop in your area. whether it's, you know, whether it's exactly in your hood there, or you come down to San Diego, just find a good shop and kind of explain to the guys the type of fishing that you're wanting to set that up. And that shop is going to have the right amount of inventory to tell you what the right thing is. And if you're wanting an inshore type outfit, I would maybe think about a Trinidad, like a 16 or a 20. A reel of that size will just allow you to fish, you know, anywhere from local kelp patty yellows and tunas and things like that, but still not too big to fly line a sardine and catch a calico bass. And then a Talica, maybe a 12 or a 20, depending on how big of a fish and how long of a trip you thought he was going to be going on. But I think when it comes to a high-quality piece of tackle, I don't think you can beat the combo of a Shimano and a CalStar.
Agreed.
Any
100%. You hit the nail on the head.
Appreciate it very much, buddy.
Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day.
You too, Sal. Thanks a lot for the phone call very much.
Yeah, that was a great call for sure, great. Sal. Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck calling from Dana Point. Welcome to the show this morning, Chuck. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, you guys. Great show as always. You know, the AFCO team, you know, I have a pair of shorts I bought at one of your you guys used to have like a garage yard sale that over there off Michelson back probably 25 years ago. And those shorts are still holding up. And they had a line plier pocket way back then. You guys were so far ahead of the game. Everything you buy from your company, you can guarantee quality, you know. And just want to say big thanks for that. But
well, thank you, Chuck. That's a nice comment.
Yeah.
The AFCO MO1s is probably the best and worst decision that AFCO ever made. Like, yeah. Best in that it is
the coolest, right?
That is the fishing short, no doubt about it. Worst in that, like, you can't wear a pair of those out no matter what. They are bomb proof.
No,
like,
I'm still wearing pairs that I got. I don't know how long ago.
And with AFCO being so innovative, that plier pockets was, we're talking 30 years ago,
we invented the pliers pocket in 1988 or 89.
30 plus years ago.
And that was a collaboration that Bill and I came up with that deal on the pliers pocket. And I don't even remember what it was that caused us to do that. I think it was me carrying pliers around on my belt and occasionally putting in my pocket and poking holes in the upholstery and that kind of thing. We said, let's put a pliers pocket and line it with Cordura, and it ended up being a big deal.
I've always loved that, and I've loved the story of Bill talking about the original trying to figure out stain-proofing and, you know, coming home.
Cleaning
from
the Wahoo.
Yeah, when Milt had come home from long trips and they're, you know, putting fabrics on top of the fillet tables. And
I watched all that happen.
That's real stuff.
Right outside the bay door at where that parking lot sale used to be in Irvine, I remember Milt Shed setting up sawhorses and plywood and cleaning Wahoo on the original Suplex MO1 fabric that we finally settled on back in 1988 or 89, long time ago.
Incredible story.
Yeah, there's lots of fishing shorts by lots of manufacturers, have lots of technical advantages, but I doubt that any of them ever started their life on a fillet table under some Wahoo from Clarion.
Yeah. Not likely.
That's really cool.
Not as real as it gets.
Man. Hey, you're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to be right back on the Mightier 1090 in the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Seakeeper, the leader in marine stabilization, has launched its newest, smallest, and most radically different model, the Seakeeper 1. Now, for the first time, stabilization is available for boats as small as 23 feet. The Seakeeper 1 is designed to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on vessels 23 to 30 feet. With a fresh new look, the Seakeeper 1 has a compact flush mount installation and runs on 12-volt battery power. Installation is a breeze. It can fit under almost any seat. Now your skiff can enjoy the comfort and enjoyment that only a Seakeeper-equipped boat can provide. Check out the Seakeeper demo boat at upcoming shows and arrange a free test drive. Seakeeper has changed the lives of many Southern California anglers, including Pete Gray, and will allow you to stay on the fishing grounds when others need to head back to port. Visit seakeeper.com/take-a-ride to arrange a demo. Eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on your trailer boat. Seakeeper. Once you feel it, you'll never boat without it.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
Gotta love California in the summer. Just remember, COVID is still with us. So if you're going to the water, plan ahead. Follow local public health guidelines and make sure everyone wears a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Rick, it's surprise in studio.
Yeah, a little extra guest.
Good morning. Yeah,
what's
good
up,
morning.
Buddy?
I wanted to come say hi to my buddy Greg and the rest of you guys and tell you how much I appreciate you being here and how great the shows sounded yesterday and then today. Fantastic. I mean, I'm just so jealous. It's like now that I'm 65 and starting to slow down, it's like maybe it's time for me to retire. I don't know. Man. Yeah. Listen to the
hard
Greg
to beat retirement.
I don't think so.
Listen to the Greg stories. It's like, man, I got to retire, man. It's like it sounds so great. But I just wanted to come in and say thanks to all you guys and just how grateful I am to be here today because it might have not been because and I'm very fortunate, feel very blessed and lucky, and I've had a lot of people text me, call me, email me, know what happened and stuff like that. And I just wanted to let people know, kind of tell the story.
Yeah,
a little
please.
Bit.
So, I mean, everybody's been so
concerned. So I was going to have hip replacement surgery on my other hip. I did it 9 years ago on my left hip. I was going to have hip replacement surgery on my right hip. So just looking into possibility of doing the surgery in March so it wouldn't interfere with fishing season and stuff like that. So my doctor, Dr. Mimi Granieri, who's a phenomenal cardiologist, said, well, you need to go have clearance to make sure your heart is in shape to do the surgery. So I went in to have a nuclear PET scan, which is this scan where they inject stuff into you, and then they do a CT scan. And, you know, I could see on the faces of the people there, like, oh, something's wrong, you know. And cardiologists came in and said, yeah, you've got a pretty severe blockage, and you're going in for surgery at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, or excuse me, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning over at Scripps. And fortunately, this phenomenal Dr. Price, who does the catheterizations and stents and such like that at Scripps. He did mine 4 years ago, was available, and actually not available, but he just slipped me in because of the severity of the situation. 3 hours later, I was in I was out of surgery. It took 3 hours to get the surgery. It was over 90% blocked, and basically, if I would have let it go a day, a week, who knows? I wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
So,
thank God you went in.
Yeah. So thank God for great doctors like my doctor, Dr. Mimi Granieri, and great doctors like Dr. Price and the people over at Scripps and stuff like that. And really grateful to be here and glad to get through it. And hopefully
miracle.
He says, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know you're here, Pete. That's awesome.
I can't believe the lack of symptoms. I mean, I talk to you every day. You know what I mean? You're surfing and fishing and, the lack of symptoms for it to be caught the way that it was, it really was a miracle that you're here.
And no, most people have symptoms. Same thing happened to me 4 years ago. I had no symptoms.
Yeah.
This time I had no symptoms. I'm surfing, I'm walking, I'm bike riding, I'm doing everything like I normally do, and not feeling any chest pains or anything like that. It's
God,
just
scary.
It's real scary. Yeah. So just be, you know, my message to everybody is watch your body. Be aware of what's going on in your body, and be and don't ignore it. Because it could be a disaster. So,
and the importance of the checkup too. You know, I mean, you usually got things checked out for a random reason, and that check was what caught something that could have been catastrophic.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm really happy.
It's like it's a scary thought, but doctor says I'm good to go.
All right,
and you know, fantastic. Certainly going to be. Certainly, I've obviously got a lot of problems. Family history, you know, my dad died at 52, brother open heart surgery at 38, that kind of stuff. If you have family history, make sure you see your cardiologist. It's and get a good cardiologist.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I went through many years of going through cardiologists 4 different times. I had to treadmill tests and stuff like that, and all the cardiologists said, "You're fine. You're fine." Well, actually, I wasn't fine until I found the right cardiologist. So you never know. That's the message, right? And just be aware and take care of yourselves. And I'm here to fish another day and hopefully go fishing with my buddy Greg.
Yes, sir, Pete. I can't wait.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, enough of that stuff. I'll let you guys get back to the show. I just wanted to come and say hi and tell you how happy I am to be here.
It was a complete surprise.
Yeah, happy to have you.
You don't know how happy we were when you came around the corner. And you look great, and you certainly wouldn't know that Pete was on the table with his heart being operated on the day before.
Yeah,
so we're really happy, buddy.
My right arm just needs a couple days rest, and I can't pull on fish for about a week or so, so then I'll be good.
Yeah, well, there you go. Let this wind go through, and we'll get back to bass fishing.
I was looking at the wind this week, and I was like, well, what a perfect week to be laying up, right?
Timing.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
All right.
Well, we're really happy, buddy.
I want to hear more Greg adventures.
Yeah, no doubt. What is next on the Greg trip? Greg, you know, we had so much fun talking about you just coming back from the river. What's next on the docket for you and your crew?
Well, it's just fun stuff. You know, I've got a very good friend of mine, Mike Campbell, that's the Lawrence West Coast guy, and he has been forever. And he and I have been talking. He lives in Washington State. We've been talking forever because I love to trout and steelhead fish, about getting together and going fishing. And he called me a month or so ago and said, "Hey, fly to Portland. We're going steelhead fishing." So I'm going to go steelhead fishing the end of March and spend 3 days with him fishing with 2 of the best guides in Oregon. And then,
what river are you going to fish?
Well, I don't know. We're going out of Garibaldi, and I'm not sure. I know there's a bunch of coastal rivers, and he said he doesn't even know. He said it really depends on conditions and which river has the fish.
There's so many waterways there. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I love any kind of trout fishing, whether it's the big cuts or whatever. It's all good.
Is steelhead more about the river that has the fish in it or the river that's flowing the right amount of speed? Like, you know, I know that, like, the water condition is a huge part of that fishery. Is it better to fish the condition or better to fish the bite or
the condition?
You know? Okay.
The color and condition is everything. And you just assume the fish are going to be in the river if they have the color and condition. And, you know, those guys know which rivers are in shape and which ones aren't. But the big thing is, and the fun thing is, for years I've talked to Mike and known Mike through the industry, and he's helped me with all my electronics on my boats and whatnot. And just to be able to finally say, "Hey, man, I got the days. Let's go. Just name the time." And that's the greatest thing, Pete, about being retired and to all you guys is that I don't have to look at my calendar anymore other than family obligations and those kinds of things. Someone says, "Hey, we're going to go to Wyoming and fish this lake for giant rainbow trout." Yeah, I'm in. Let's go.
Oh.
We're going.
Enviable position.
It is a lot of fun, and I thank God for being able to be healthy enough to do it and for having a wife that supports it. And I think my timing was pretty good to retire when I did. And lots of great trips. We're going to Flaming Gorge again for 2 weeks in May. Then I'm going back up to Wyoming, then going to Montana after that. And, you know, it's just there's so much to do. You're not going to live long enough to do it all, but I'm going to try.
Marty used to talk about Flaming Gorge and what an awesome tailwater fishery that is. I've never been there. It's always wanted to go.
We went there last year, and we didn't fish the tailwater. We only fished in the lake itself. And that place, not only is it beautiful, but the fishing for kokanee salmon and for giant lake trout was off the hook.
That's cool. Yeah.
We literally didn't have heavy enough tackle. We hooked lake trout that were, I don't know how big. It's like hooking that sea bass on your wall. really? On 8-pound tests, you just don't land them.
Get out of
so
here.
So we are all over headed back up there again and catching those big lake trout on light tackle.
Wow. And you do that from a drift boat?
Take my skiff,
oh,
and we run up the lake, and you know the lake's in a big canyon like the Grand Canyon, and you meter these things just like sea bass, suspended off the points.
Come
on. And then you fish through them, and you can either, you know, throw a Hopkins or throw a plastic. There's a number of different things you can do, and we kind of figured it out at the very end of the trip, and we caught these things. We only landed fish up to 20, but we hooked fish that were unlandable.
Get out of here.
Cool. Could not land them. I mean, just like a big tanker sea bass. No, these are lake trout.
Big lake trout.
I'll show you a couple pictures here in a little bit. But that, and then there's kokanee salmon. So we're going to go there, Flaming Gorge, and then if the weather's right, we're going to bounce from there over to Pyramid, fish Pyramid for a few days, and then bounce down to the eastern Sierras and then come home.
What are you going to do when the bluefin start biting in the coming weeks?
Well, the truth is I'm going to miss some of the early part of the season just because I love trout and bass fishing, and I can get the bluefin later and let my brother handle that.
I was going to say, the answer is you're going to go catch them when you can.
Yeah, when it happens.
That's cool. Well, the phone lines are packed up. I know everybody's excited to jump in on the fun. And Corey, why don't we do that? Let's jump into them.
Let's do it, Rick. Let's talk to Ted. Ted Cohn from Costa Mesa. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ted, on Let's Talk Coco. Good morning.
Yes, hello there. I have a question. Fluorocarbon, blackwater fluorocarbon wine on leaders, how long do you think you could let them sit in the dark and the cool and they're still good?
I think with all line, as long as it's in the dark and cool, years. I mean, I have spools of monofilament that I occasionally pull line off of for one reason or another, and I think the stuff holds up fine as long as you keep it cool and keep it away from the UV light. I don't know that there is a time limit. I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years?
But more so the fluorocarbon over the mono, I would say.
I think so. The fluorocarbon is probably more tolerant of time. You know, Rick, you might have a different opinion, but I don't worry too much about it. I spool the stuff on, and if it looks a little chalky, I take some off and put fresh on. But I've got fluorocarbon that I'm using that's 20, 25 years old that I got as samples back when fluorocarbon first came out.
Fluorocarbon's got that unique property, too, where, you know, you might have it in a relatively tight coil and it looks like a slinky and you might think twice, but, man, you tie your hook on the end of that thing and attach it to your boat cleat and put your reel into gear and walk back and put a couple of good stretches into it. It just comes right back to a nice, supple piece of line to fish again. I mean, as long as you get that line, stretch it out, and I'm with you. As long as the clarity looks good and it feels good, I wouldn't have any issue fishing it just about any amount of time. I haven't ever seen a time where that fluoro ever really breaks down.
And it's starting with quality, too. Like you mentioned Blackwater, and I've always stayed with Seaguar, and now with the Cycle, I use both of them. I've never, ever had an issue. I have had, I'll tell you, an issue with another brand I won't mention, but I will never use again. And it's just using a quality product. And with the Seaguar and the Cyco, you will never have an issue.
Yeah, I think any of the lines that come out of Japan, which both Seaguar and Cyco do, and I believe Blackwater did as well, those are all good quality lines. I think there are some lines made in other countries that they call them fluorocarbon, but there may be blends or not the quality. I can just tell you the quality of the AquaCyco Pro as made by Sunline, there is no better. It's the best. No question about
period.
It.
That's cool. And you develop it, so you should know.
I'm a little biased. I did.
Hey, great phone call, Ted. Appreciate it very much. How about from the text? Greg, I've been dying to talk to you. Any chance you could describe how to rig a dead flyer for floating? Then that's thanks from Charlie.
Well, I'll just give you the brief description because there's now some stuff online. I know that Ali at Bloody Dex has done a couple of good videos, and my methods aren't a whole lot different than his other than I don't use treble hooks. We only use a single hook, a single large 7691S, usually in a 9-0 or 10-0. But the main thing I do is I use one of those bamboo skewers that you use to barbecue with. You know, you put meat on and put on the barbecue. I push one of those through the body just ahead of the wings. Zip tie the wings forward. Sometimes I'll run one down the body just to keep the flying fish straight. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, that's my basic rigging for the kite. And then I hook them, you know, at the balance point somewhere through the back. Sometimes I sew the hook in. But, you know, again, I sew the mouth shut. I do a couple other things, but it's too much to describe during the time I've got right now. But, just go to Ali's description there and the way he rigs them. And whether you use a trap hook or any of that stuff is up to you. But there's a lot of ways to rig the flyers, and when the tuna are biting, they'll eat them even if they're not rigged perfect.
I say, when they're hungry, it makes little difference.
Yeah.
When they're being bluefin, that's when, you know, being very stealth and every little extra thing you can put on a sure can make a...
I will tell you this. We hand catch all our flying fish at night, and we handle them just like we handle a fish that we're going to eat. So we're really careful with them. We try to keep them alive in the bait tank, and typically we lose half of them in the first 8 hours. But we have had lots of bites on live flying fish, but fresh dead flying fish that we bag and put on ice that are shiny and silvery, and I think the smell makes a big difference. We get a lot of bites on those things when guys around us using the frozen stuff aren't getting bit.
How do you fish the live flyer?
The live flyer, I bridle it. I put a bridle through its eye sockets, and I bridle the hook on its face, and just a single hook, big 7691S, and just fly line the thing out and let it do its thing. You know, the flyer, even if he's half dead in the bait tank, if you bridle him, put him in the water, and just pull him around a little bit, they come back to life. And they live forever as long as they're not in a bait tank. In a bait tank...
And they don't like the bait tank.
They just don't make it in the bait tank. I know some guys that are using tuna tubes that they put a smaller tube in, and they live good in the tubes. But once you put one over the side, they thrive.
But they don't dig it in the bait tank, huh?
No, the bait tank, if they get their nose against the side and they start swimming into the side of the tank...
They're done.
They're done. But if they have any twitch at all, bridle them and put them out.
Because they're going to come back.
They come back to life.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Like a fresh dead squid to a sea bass. Like, they have no problem eating that thing if it's right.
But we have many times, first thing in the morning, we'll slide on a meter mark, or Michael will see puddlers or something, and we'll fly line a couple of them out. The live ones... A lot of times you don't even get them out. I mean, they're get that quick. Yeah.
Is it all like long range fishing where you see that thing try to get up and try to move on the surface? I mean, I know they can't really fly away towing line and hooks and everything like that, but the visuals got to be pretty good.
Yeah, the visuals are often cool. I mean, most of the time they go down pretty deep when you put them out because the fluorocarbon and the weight of the hook. Mm-hmm. We're using usually 200-pound fluorocarbon or 150. It tends to sink them out, and especially with the lines that we have to use using the Dacron or the linen, the stuff absorbs water and it sinks. So often you don't see the bite, but we have had a couple of bites. Well, we've had many bites on the surface that were just heart stoppers. Sorry to use the phrase.
That's good. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that we can handle. That's cool. Well, a great one, a great text there for sure, Charlie. Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
Oh, let's do it. Let's talk to John. John calling from Mira Mesa. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show this morning. Appreciate you joining us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you guys. Good morning.
We're just losing you there, John. Unfortunately, we got a bad connection. We'll see if we can't get you hooked back up and get back on there. Appreciate it very much. How about Dennis from San Diego up next on Let's Talk Hook'em? What's up, Dennis? Give us that question one more time there, Dennis. I'm sorry we had a little bit of rough connection there.
Well, I'm just saying I'm glad Pete took care of himself because we'd miss him. But I do have a question for your host, or for your guest, I should say. And the thing is that he has told me that I've been doing my knife all wrong, and no wonder I can't cut stuff with my fillet knife. Would it be worth my time to take it down and get a new edge on it or just buy a new one? And if so, can you recommend a place to do it?
You know, most good quality meat markets will resharpen your knives for you, and they do a great job. I'd highly recommend it because they'll do it right. They'll do it either on a very expensive machine that sets the proper edge, which it should have a 17-degree cutting edge, more or less. But, yeah, take it to a fine butcher shop, a specialty meat market. You guys down here will probably know a place better than I do. But generally, all of those places will sharpen your knives at a cost. And until that knife is worn down to a nub, like until it's a paring knife, keep having it sharpened and keep using it. I think they get better the more times you resharpen them.
That's why you're investing the money in good steel like that. You've got a lot of life out of that knife.
Exactly, and that's why I recommend no machine sharpening unless you have a pro do it.
Mm-hmm.
Use a stone because you don't take a lot of material off. You just dress the edge, and that's the whole key. You want that edge to be sharp.
The biggest thing I'm taking away from today is the quarter underneath the back edge. Seriously,
yeah, as a guideline, that just shows you how what the angle of the knife should be.
The the not liking the machine, is that just because it does remove too much material, or is it doesn't produce the edge you like, or all the above?
So most of the machines you're going to buy, like, online or anything, unless you spend hundreds, and I did. I bought a quality machine.
Uh-huh.
It's just too easy to screw up the edge of the knife, and you take way too much material off. I mean, if it's just your kitchen knife for cutting up broccoli, that's fine. But if you want to cut a fine bluefin tuna or a nice piece of yellowtail or a filet of halibut and you want it perfect, learn how to use a stone. Go online and learn how to use a stone.
That's good.
That'll give you the best.
What about using one of those horning things?
No, I don't like any of those. I like a stone. A flat stone is the best.
And they're relatively inexpensive.
They're cheap.
And yeah, like you're saying, they're fairly easy to use,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
All right. Good info.
Good call, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call very much.
Thank you, Dennis. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Cook Up. We're going to find out who's won one of these cool fillet knives and a couple spools of psychofluorocarbon when we return on the Let's Talk Cook Up app and the Mightier 1090.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
It's Yamaha's The Power of Reliability sales event. For a limited time, eligible select new 2.5 to 350 horsepower four-strokes come with up to $1,500 in dealer credit or 2 years of Yamaha extended warranty protection. Yamaha. Reliability starts here.
Offering March 7, 2021. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. 24-month Yamaha extended service contract added to Yamaha factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Here's the hot tip on the best fishing L.A. has to offer, 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. They are home to L.A.'s finest open party fleet, including Overnight on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Sea Angler. For your own private charter, we have the Outrider and True Line available. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or on the web at 22ndstreet.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, we've had a fun 2 hours with Greg Stotesbury in studio, and one lucky caller has won the AFCO fillet knife and two spools of psychofluorocarbon. That's Greg and Vista.
Congratulations, Greg. You're going to be stoked. And, man, I'm so stoked that both of you guys, well, all three of you guys are sitting right here, especially you, Pete. And that was awesome. I'm glad you came in and showed the story.
Glad to be here.
I'm really, really happy
to be
here, buddy. And Greg, man, what an awesome time. 2 hours just flies by so quick. And we love hearing your adventures and your stories. And, man, just absolutely can't wait to do it again. I know you and Viv and your brother and all your whole crew of guys got a lot of great fish to do, man. We sure appreciate you coming and hanging and telling stories with us.
Thank you guys very much. It's always a pleasure. And I'm really happy for Pete.
Thanks. Well, I'm grateful for all you guys, too.
Thank you
for covering for me. Miracles do happen. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day miracle. I'll take it.
Yeah, and no, you don't get to retire. We're not ready for that yet. We're having too good of a time. You can take some break, but not too much.
Talk to me later, Pete.
Hey, we had a great time with you. We got another couple of great shows coming for you next weekend. Next Saturday, Kelsey, Andrew, and Mike from Seakeeper are joining us. And the next Sunday, John and Gene from Dana Landing and ECBT. Lots of great show. Big thanks to Adam and Andrew for taking care of us on the air. We'll look forward to talking to you next week with Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.